Good evening. I'm Sam Friedman with the KUAC News Minor Update. The Borough Assembly on Thursday set a minimum public education allocation that's $2 million less than what the school district asked for. Education leaders were hoping the minimum would be the same as the district's full $50 million budget request. But the Assembly left itself leeway to deal with its own budget problems, including what to do with the aging Mary Sia Recreation Center, in light of growing school district fund reserves. Some borough leaders also sought to signal to the school district dismay about how public education finances and communication are being handled. The district has cut programs while building up fund reserves. Tension between the borough and school district is nothing new, but it tends to boil over when leaders have limited resources. Assembly members criticized the district for sending a text message and email to families encouraging them to press the Assembly for full funding. Alaska has its first reported case of E. coli bacteria tied to the national outbreak. KNOM reports that 8 confirmed cases were among inmates at Nome's Anvil Mountain Correctional Center. Department of Health and Social Services epidemiologist Louisa Castrodale confirms that the bacteria was on lettuce served at the jail.
A type of E. coli, a Shiga toxin-producing E. coli, and so it can be pretty damaging to people, and it can cause some severe illness.
State and national entities are investigating more than 50 E. coli cases in 16 states. Castrodale says that they have determined that the infectious lettuce comes from Yuma, Arizona, but have not narrowed it to a specific farm. In order to control the outbreak within the prison, Department of Corrections spokeswoman Megan Edge says staff responded with a rigorous hygiene program.
Really had to go into overdrive to make sure that this incident was contained. That meant that we just a really good scrubbing of everything in the facility.
Edge says none of the 8 patients with confirmed E. coli cases were hospitalized, and all are back within the general population of 117 residing at Anvil Mountain. An 18-year-old West Valley High School student faces theft and weapons charges were reportedly taking a stolen gun to school on the day of a planned anti-gun violence walkout. According to a criminal complaint filed in Fairbanks Court, Jared Christopher Cagwin allegedly stole a .45 caliber pistol and 4 other guns from his aunt's home. Cagwin is charged with felony second-degree theft and misdemeanor fourth-degree weapons misconduct. Alaska State Troopers responded to the West Valley High School parking lot the morning of April 20th after Cagwin's aunt reported several guns were missing from her locked gun safe. April 20th was the 19th anniversary of the Columbine High School mass shooting. Students at West Valley, Lathrop, and Hutchinson High Schools had planned walkouts that day in support of nationwide efforts to pass gun violence legislation. In Cagwin's car, troopers reported finding a .45 caliber Witness P handgun and a single .45 caliber round in the glove box. They found a magazine loaded with multiple .45 caliber rounds in the trunk, as well as a box of 9mm ammunition. Cagwin's aunt told troopers the gun belonged to her. The United Nations organization that regulates international shipping recently decided to move towards banning the use of heavy fuel oil in the Arctic. The thick oil could present unique challenges for cleanup in the event of a spill. The Alaska Energy Desk's Ravenna Koenig reports.
Heavy fuel oil, also called HFO, is relatively cheap, which is why it's commonly used by big commercial ships around the world, and to a lesser but still significant degree, in the Arctic. Kevin Herron is the Arctic Program Director for Pacific Environment, an international conservation organization. He represented the group in early April in London at the meeting of one of the committees of the International Maritime Organization.
It is a big deal that the IMO has been looking at a ban. It's a very cautious body, and it normally does not act without strong support from countries.
The United States was one of several countries that submitted a paper recommending the move. Heavy fuel oil is, well, heavy, and it could present some particular difficulties in a spill. It sinks in many cases when it's cold, and it doesn't disperse easily. Austin Amasuk from Nome also attended the meeting. He's a marine advocate for the Bering Strait Regional Nonprofit Corporation, Kowarik, and he supports HFO being taken out of use in the Arctic.
We want our waters as pristine as possible, and a heavy fuel oil spill or burning of heavy fuel oil represents or is some of the dirtiest ship power generation that exists.
One of Amasuk's big concerns is how such a spill could affect marine subsistence resources in the Bering Strait region. Even though the regulatory group made the decision to start developing a ban, there's still a lot that will have to happen before it's put in place. Jeff Lance with the U.S. Coast Guard was the lead representative for the U.S. at the meeting. He says the group will have to assess the impacts of a ban.
It would be looking at the environmental benefit, but it would also be looking at the cost to shipping. It could be looking at the cost to communities in the Arctic. Would it raise the cost for delivery of goods and services to these communities?
Once the assessment is done, the terms of the ban will have to be negotiated, including things like when it would go into effect. A final decision may still be several years out. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
For more on these stories and others, go to newsmatter.com or kuac.org. I'm Sam Friedman.